to Expounded Universe, Season 4, Episode 7, The Divine Secrets of the Dark Side Sisterhood. The book, The Courtship of Princess Leia, by Dave Wolverton. The year, 1995, I think. Chapters 13 and 14, with your hosts, Jeff and John. Let's go.
Hi, I'm the Herbs and Spices Kid.
Take it down a notch, Han.
If you leave Star Fox there, he's gonna eat that millennial goose.
Yeah. Hey, bees, hey, bees, hey, bees.
Yo, beepity boop, bitches, I got it.
Welcome back to Expounded Universe, the Expanded Universe novel discussion podcast featuring your hosts, Jeff and John. I'm Jeff, that's John.
Yeah, you're one host, Jeff and John.
I am Jeff and John, and then right over here is the other host. And what's your name, sir?
I'm John and Jeff.
Ah, that won't be confusing at all.
Indeed not. And we sound nothing alike.
Nothing alike whatsoever.
No, indeed. Nothing.
We're definitely not two of the same white guy.
Just the same white guy.
Yeah, just one produced about 3 years later.
Aw.
What?
Aw, you're old.
I know. I'm old. I'm used to it. I'm only going to get older from here. And so are you.
It'll happen to you.
Oh, we had dinner with a friend of ours the other day, and he actually told me my beard is all gray now. And I was like, I know. It's sad, but it's just, I'm going to be turning into an old dad. That's just what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's true.
Can I stay funny? Only sort of. Only to five-year-olds.
Only time will tell.
Knock, knock, John.
Who's there?
Europe.
You're a poo.
No, you're a poo.
No, you're a poo.
Jokes. Dad jokes.
These dad jokes.
This is going to be chapters 13 and 14 of Dave Wolverton's The Courtship of Princess Leia.
Man. I hate this book for the courtship reasons.
Yes, for the courtship reasons in general, and for Han in particular, and for Leia in particular.
But these two chapters are probably the highlight of the book for me so far.
Yeah,
in relation to each other.
This is that good classic Dave Wolverton I was looking for. Because remember, we actually really liked his chapter of the Tales from the Mos Eisley Cantina, because he wrote Tales from the Mos Eisley Cantina. He wrote the chapter about the Ithorian, Momon Adon.
Yeah, he wrote about that filthy floppy dick.
Yeah, that big detachable flop dick that just danced about in the sand.
Yep.
Capered and flipped like a fish pulled up from the ocean. Getting ever sandier with each flippy flap.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. So, in this case, this is actually some fun world building. There's some scary villains. It's not just, you know, coercion kidnapping.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a sudden tonal shift to good book. It's hard to evaluate. Like, we can't be too nice to this chapter, right? Because it's still a book about how Han kidnaps his girlfriend until she marries him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we can't be nice to the book, but we can be nice to the chapter.
I guess that's what we're going to have to do. So chapter 13 starts with Isolde straight up in free fall and about to die.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he is. His
his whole thing is he's like, okay, I can't try and land my craft because if I... like, start up my thrusters at all, then Zinja's people are going to notice me.
Yeah.
And I can't even eject until I'm, like, dangerously close.
Because Zinja's people will notice you. And as he's falling, he can also see Luke's X-Wing falling, or Luke's borrowed X-Wing falling.
Yeah.
I'm almost certain, John, I'm almost 100% certain that the reason that Luke doesn't take his own X-Wing is because Lucasfilm or whatever shut him down. When he was like, oh, we see here in chapter 12 that you have Luke crash the X-Wing. He can't crash the X-Wing. You have to give him a different one to crash.
Look, his X-Wing is fine. Just have a different one there.
Just put another X-Wing on the ship and have him crash that, because that X-Wing is too important to crash. Like, I remember it was a huge deal when someone got permission to kill Chewbacca.
Yeah.
So, this is probably just another example of that. Like, oh, nope, that's too changey. Kill a different X-Wing.
Yeah, it's... it's just so weird, though, to think, like, oh, yeah, here in this Hapen battlecruiser, we had one standby X-Wing for you?
Well, that's what I meant by this has to be an edict thing, because it definitely came down after the book was done. Like, he turned in his manuscript and was like, all right, I am sticking to this. This is a good book. And they're like, you can't destroy the X-Wing. Okay, I guess there's another X-Wing there. That'll be acceptable. Thank you. Good. May I have my check? That's the only way that makes any sense. But anyway, he's crashing X-Wing.
X-Wing.
An X-Wing.
X-Wing.
And Isolde in free fall can see as R2-D2, who is not part privy to any of these dumb plans to evade the gaze of Warlord Zinj, bails the shit out.
Yeah, I was wondering about that, because I'm like, oh, R2 just bails out and immediately parachutes, and Isolde doesn't go, oh, that dumb droid's going to fuck us over.
No, no one cares about the droid. Presumably some Zinj guy is like, look, sir, droids. And then, like, no one cares about droids. Stop quoting the movies.
They're like, oh, should I shoot at it? Oh, there's no life signs.
Yeah, that's not the droids we're looking for. Yeah, quit quoting the movie. Stop it.
Look, we get it. We watched the movie.
we put Captain Solo in the cargo hold. That's a different character. You can't, no.
You know what? Stop it.
Stop, Stormtrooper, who quotes other Stormtroopers, and now Boba Fett.
And now Boba Fett.
So, all right. So, he does it really seems like Isolde has all the pieces in place for his ship, the Storm, for this exact situation, because he's like, okay, well, I've got the reflective blanket pulled over myself, so I'm definitely invisible to heat signatures. At a certain point, I'll pull this thing so that the canopy flies off, and then I'll use my low-altitude parachute instead of my high-altitude parachute so that I can fall safely to the ground.
Yeah, he's got a little survival kit and everything. Yeah,
it really seems like the Storm is very equipped to go through this exact situation. Storm, by the way, is not an X-Wing, as it turns out. It's
whatever the fuck Hapens use.
It's a Hapen ship. They use their own. It looks exactly like a high-res version of the ship from Tempest. Like, you know, the video game Tempest?
No, I don't.
Oh, you don't know? Tempest is a great video game. You should try it. It's like a rhythm-based shooter. It's very old. I mean, it literally debuted on the Atari Jaguar, I'm pretty sure.
Nice.
Yeah. So anyway, he jumps out of his Storm. He spends most of his time lamenting that the Storm is probably going to be unrecoverable.
Yeah. Oh, my cool ship that is mine, and specifically my ship that's cool.
My very toyetic ship that makes me a cool dude that they might make an action figure of.
Yeah.
He says to himself as he falls. But unfortunately, after he jumps, oh, horror of horrors, his parachute don't work. There's nothing in there but silverware and an anvil.
Yeah, it pulls on the first string, nothing happens. Pulls on the second string, nothing happens. Well, looks like his soldier's gonna be a stain on this planet.
Holds up a little tiny sign that says, well, fuck me, I guess.
Hatch has a tiny little umbrella.
And points it down. No. So he's in free fall, and he's definitely gonna die. But then, all of a sudden, Luke just floats past him.
What happens is he's like, oh, I'm floating.
Oh,
that's
weird. I'm not falling.
There must be some repulsor lift thing happening.
Yeah. And then, no, there isn't. It's just Luke doing everything all at once with his cool force powers.
Yeah. He falls and he's like, wait a minute. I'm just being lowered to the ground. Also, my ship's being lowered to the ground. And then when he finally gets on the ground, he looks up and fucking Luke Skywalker is legs folded, arms crossed, just like, floating down to the ground.
Yeah, he's doing like some sort of Zen pose thing where he's like monk flying down to the ground.
I love that this chapter, the whole thing is from a soldier's point of view.
Yes.
And Luke Skywalker becomes a ridiculous space wizard in this.
No, he's straight up a Jedi Master, and it's really fun to watch someone else evaluate a Jedi Master from a distance.
Yeah, because instead of just being like, ah, and Luke walked around and he was like, I don't think this person likes me very much. The Force is kind of telling me they're a dick. Like, you get little bits of Force stuff, but in this, Luke is straight up just like, hey, what up? I'm a superhero. I've got crazy telekinetic powers, and I'm just floating to the ground like it's nothing.
Yeah, and then when he explains it, it's all in these little quick toss-offs. So once he lands, Isolde runs up to him, and he's like, how did you do that? I saw you die. Oh, no, Jedi Force Trance. I just lowered my body temperature and turned off my heart rate.
Any Jedi can do this.
That's just step one for Jedi. And he's like, how are you doing this? The Force is ever my ally.
Look, the Force is in everything, and I'm its ally. So, you know, just that.
Everything's fine, my dude.
And Isolde is straight losing his shit. Yeah, and I love it.
He's very gobsmacked. He's like,
this motherfucker just straight up carried me and my plane and him, and he has like didn't break a sweat. He's completely cool about it. I had always thought Jedi were like weird cool guys before, but holy fuck, this dude.
Yeah. So, okay. Luke puts him on the ground safely. The one weird thing is that Luke didn't use any of his Jedi powers for R2. R2 just parachutes R2 off just, into the distance.
Yeah, R2 lands like a kilometer away, and he's like, eh, we'll get him later.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's R2. Who gives a shit?
Yeah. So Luke immediately sets out for, you know, whatever destination. He is pretty sure he knows where Leia is, so he's going to start heading towards that crash site. And so he just grabs all of his gear, makes a plan to go get R2 first, and just is like, all right, man, let's go. And he's always like, what are you talking about? We can't just go. It's like,
how do you even know? Like, they could be anywhere on this planet. He's like, no, they're like 10 kilometers that way.
It's like 100. Yeah, they're like 120 kilometers this way. We got to go that way. R2 is like 10 kilometers this way as well. So let's get started. We got to go get R2. And he's like, why are we getting your droid? Yeah, don't question me.
Hey, who is the Jedi?
Yeah.
Who is Jedi?
So the whole chapter is just Luke doing cool Jedi shit, and Isolde just sort of puppy-dogging along behind him, being like, what? No way! Oh my god!
Well, yeah, I mean, when they're going to leave, like, Isolde is just going like, oh man, this is crazy, I don't know what's happening. And Luke straight up just, like, mind-fucks him.
Mm-hmm.
He, like, goes full kooky dukes and is just, like, wandering, circling around him, being like, Tell me why you are here. Tell me your secrets.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the part where he's like talking to him. He's like, because basically he just picks apart all of Isolde's nonsense. Because he's like, okay, why are you here, Isolde? Oh, I'm here because I have to find Leia and take her back. Okay, but do you serve your mother in all ways? Of course I do. I'm a soldier for my mother in the Hapen Empire. I serve her in every way possible.
Oh, yeah. But that's not true, because if you did, you would not be here.
And you would have just had Han Solo killed a long time ago. I feel like you've got your own total agenda that you're doing, and you're just discounting that.
Oh, yeah. And he, like, is doing ridiculous psychoanalysis thing. He's like, hey, who did you lose?
Yeah, that's the best part, where he's like, you're not mad at Han Solo. Who are you really mad about?
Hey, man, who took something from you?
Who hurt you?
Who hurt you, Isolde? And Isolde just, like, starts sobbing into him, and he's like, it's not your fault, Isolde.
Don't you
it's
do
not
this.
Your fault.
Don't you do this, man.
It's not your fault, Isolde.
Shut up, dude.
Yeah, I just full goodwill hunting on Isolde in this scene, and it is amazing, because Isolde was impressed by the magic, but then just emotionally is destroyed.
Yeah, because he's like, all right, so we learned these following things about Isolde. He had an older brother who he loved very dearly.
Yeah, and he was killed by Captain Haravan.
Yeah, Captain Haradan or Haravan or something like that.
Haravan.
Haravan. But he spends the rest of his life dedicated to tracking down this Haravan guy and taking him out.
Yeah, and he straight kills this dude, shoots him in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And Luke's like, nah, man, you're still holding on to that. You've still got that darkness inside you. But don't worry. I'm here to turn you to the light side. And he's like, I'm not even a Force user. What the fuck are you talking about?
He's like, oh, you are. You just don't know it yet.
Look, everyone is part of the Force, and you have come to me in order to gain the path to the light side.
Mm-hmm.
And Isolde is just like, what is happening to my universe?
Yeah, it's kind of fun to watch Isolde just get broken down here.
Oh, yeah. Isolde, at the end of this conversation where Luke just goes inside of his brain and is like, I know all of the reasons you do everything and all the pain that you have. You need to follow me and be my disciple. And Isolde is just like, my entire worldview has just been rocked.
Yes.
Everything that I think has been questioned.
And my favorite thing here is that Isolde can't hold this. He can't just be like, yes, I do want to be your disciple. By the end of this chapter, he'll crack and he'll be like, I need to find a weakness in this weird argument that I seem to be falling for.
Well, even before they leave, Luke goes, hey, man, are you ready to follow me? And he's like, I understand that he's not just saying, like, do you want to chase after me to go find stuff? Like, are you willing to follow me to the light side? And he goes to a ship, and as he does, he starts rationalizing things, and he's like, nah, man, you're good. You don't need to worry about this. This guy's just, he's just some fucking dude.
He's some crazy Jedi, man. It's fine.
It's fine. And then, like, in the back of his mind, he's like, that dude just flew. What is your deal?
Yeah. He's like, he's not even a real Jedi. Jedi's a dumb myth. Yeah, you saw him fly. He flew you, too.
Like, come on, man. Don't do this. Yeah. But he is, like, clinging as tenaciously as he possibly can to the
powdered
idea.
Toast man's buttocks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He is clinging tenaciously to his buttocks, mm-hmm, and then flying.
Yeah, exactly. Just like Powdered Toast Man intended.
Uh-huh.
Follow in the path of Powdered Toast Man,
please,
John.
Are you going to be Powdered Toast Man's disciple?
Okay. So they go on their walk. And of course, it's basically just a bunch of descriptions about how Luke is amazing at everything now.
Like, oh, yeah. Well, Luke is just Jedi-ing around. It's like, oh, we came to a crevice, and he just, like, jumped down
boing,
while
boing,
I had
boing.
To climb.
Yeah. And then he gets R2, and R2 is extremely hard to maneuver on this territory, but it's fine because Jedi.
Well, yeah, he's like, oh, he finds some path that R2 can take.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, we got to go around this way so R2 can roll around with us.
And then they stop for the night in some crevice on in a hillside somewhere. And Luke's like, hey, man, you should drink a bunch of water and eat what rations you have and try and get some sleep. Anyway, I'm going to have two sips of water and go instantly into a Jedi trance. Goodbye.
Oh, yeah. Like, they get to this crevice and Isolde is just like fucking sweaty, panting. And Luke is just sitting there like, hey, guys, that was a fun walk. Ooh, one bead of sweat. Anyway, sip, sip, I'm done.
Yeah, he shoulders that wolf from The Sword and the Stone.
Gold.
And then Merlin and young Arthur just go off the other way.
Yeah. It is amazing to just... And again, it is there so Isolde can be like, what the shit? This dude is... straight magic.
Yes.
Like, I do not understand what is happening
here. So, as they bed down for the night, all of a sudden, a big old earthquake happens. But it feels directional. They can kind of tell where the earthquake is coming from.
Yeah.
And, you know, the first thing he told her is like, earthquake? And Luke has to, because he's the big Jedi hero, has to be like, no, not an earthquake. Something else.
No. And I like that R2 just doesn't do anything except for right now, beepity boops. He's like, hey, warning.
Beep boop. Yeah.
Shaking.
Mm-hmm.
I have two lines in this entire two chapters that we've read.
I'm as checked out as he's the person on the other end of Chewbacca's phone.
Yeah, he is sitting there playing like fucking Words with Friends with Chewbacca. He's like, hey, beepity boop. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm gonna take the O and beepity boop and make it the O and roar.
Yeah, that is 100% what is happening. Chewbacca and R2 from different places on the planet are just noot, noot, noot.
Playing Words with Friends in binary and Wookiee at the same time.
Yeah.
So, not in Aurabesh. Oh, no, no, no,
oh,
no.
Goodness, no.
No, it's the binary language of moisture evaporators and whatever the primary language of Kashyyyk is called. Kashyyykian?
Kashikan?
Kashikas.
Wookie?
Wookie. Probably just Wookie.
Probably just Wookie.
Yeah, it's probably Esperanto.
Yeah.
All right, so the earthquake turns out, as Luke, of course, predicted, not to be an earthquake, but a stampede of sorts. A giant daily migration of huge blue lizard things.
Yeah, I mean, when they finally describe them, it's basically like a blue...
It's the
T-Rex that's slightly smaller than a, like, T-Rex would be.
Well, yeah, which just means it's like a blue Allosaurus then. I mean, there's so many theropods, John. We could just do this all day.
Yeah, but it's, like, what is this? A fairly decent, like, not huge, but a decently sized, running on two legs with two little arms in front.
Mm-hmm. Which is weird because they're herbivores.
Except they've got teeth like spades.
Which is perfectly fine for herbivores. That's a big, flat, broad tooth. It's perfect for chopping through tough vegetation. It's just weird that they've got the theropod body plan, but then again, everything on this planet does.
Everything's weird on this planet.
Yeah, everything's two-legged. So these blue...
Well, two legs bad.
Yeah, yeah, four legs good. Yeah, four legs good, obviously, but two legs bad.
Oh, yeah, well, and, you know, some four legs more equal than other ones.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, the nice thing about the two legs, even if though it is bad, is that it can hold a gun. And as we've all established, the gun is good.
Oh, well, the gun is good.
Yeah.
The penis, though.
The penis is bad. The penis, obviously bad.
Obviously.
Obviously. Okay. So, I mean, it led to Han.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, that's any...
Well, I mean, I think that was the entire point of the Ithorian story originally, was that the penis was bad, which is why he shot it off of himself.
That is correct.
Pa-coo!
I thought it was just attachable. He actually shot it loose?
Oh, no, it shoots
off of him. Yeah. It's like... It's
he
not
didn't shoot
take
it off.
A gun and blast his own dick off and be like, be like, I am sorry, the trees. I promise to grow two additional dicks in its place.
Oh, yeah, where one dick falls, two will grow back.
Such is the code of the forest Ithorians.
Hail Dick Hydra.
Hi there, Dick Hydra.
Hi, I'm Dick Hydra.
Hail
here.
Dick Hydra. Yeah, I'm feeling pretty healthy. Thanks for asking. I am Hail Dick Hydra.
I am Hail. I am hearty and Hail Dick Hydra.
No, I don't have any plans against Captain America. I think he's a great guy, honestly.
He's a great guy. Love that cap.
No, I'm just third generation Hydra. I mean, my uncle took it super seriously, but not me. I'm part of the new soft face of Hydra.
Oh, yeah. I'm the new gentle Hydra.
Exfoliating and cleansing. Wait, is this soap or a guy?
What is this bit?
What are we doing right now? So these blue iguanas dance their way over the scene. Blue Iguana Dawns, I guess, go charging past, except for one of them who lands in the crevasse they're standing in and just sort of looks at them. And for a brief second, it's menacing. And this literally gives us a chance to sort of look at the thing. It's, you know, like a huge blue T-Rex with lots of loose, flappy skin, because that's a function of rancors as well.
Oh, yeah. And they're just, like, I think this one is one of the older ones. It's why he falls in the crevice, because she's, like, older and is the last one there.
Oh, so she's the one who might be devoured by wolves in a second.
Yeah.
By space wolves.
Oh, no, space wolves.
Oh, no, they're going to come here and quote Viking nonsense at her.
Aw, god damn it, space wolves.
Riding in their stupid little Santa boat.
And all of them with rocket launchers, you assholes.
Ah, space wolves, pass.
Hard pass on space wolves.
So, Luke, of course, because he's the big bad Jedi in this book, and it's just amazing how much of this is... this guy really wanted to write Luke as a straight-up Jedi Master and really explore what that means.
Yeah, this chapter is just Luke does everything that is cool about being a Jedi.
Yeah, so he basically just goes, oh no, relax, I got this, and walks up with like a canteen full of water and pours it into his hands and is like, hey, giant T-Rex lizard monster, have all this water.
Hey, girl.
Hey, what's up?
We're friends.
And then he puts his hand on it and thinks for a second and is like, okay, I've got this all figured out. They are called the blue. They call themselves the Blue Desert People,
which is just a weird thing for them to call themselves.
Well, given that it means that they have a concept of what blue is, besides the fact that it's just what color they are.
Yeah.
So you'd think they just call themselves the people, like everyone does. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like 90% of people's various nationality languages, their name for themselves is just the folks or the people.
Yeah, but no, they are the Blue Desert People.
Mm-hmm.
So great.
So they're the Blue Desert People. And every day, in the early morning, they charge from the desert into the hills, and every night, they charge from the hills into the desert.
Yep.
They are willing to carry the group of Isildur and Luke and R2 as far as they charge into the forest tomorrow morning, the same as they always do. They're willing to do that.
Yeah, because Luke's like, look, me and this this big blue weird thing,
mm-hmm.
we're cool now.
We're buds.
We're best of buds.
And of course, Isildur has to do the standard Harry Potter is the main character of a story thing and be like, what? You can talk to the animals? Walk, talk with the animals?
Yeah, yes, that's me.
Rex Harrison, how you doing? I'm going to talk sing my way through this entire 50s movie.
But, you know, Isildur's like, what are they? Are they intelligent?
And unfortunately, Luke goes, not much more than other animals, which suggests that they are a little bit.
Well, you know, he's like, not really more than anybody else.
Yeah, if he had just been like, is about as much as your average whatever. Like, but instead you're like, oh, so these things are like caveman smart, maybe, because he's,
well,
he's,
I mean,
like, not much more, but a little.
Smarter than those little, like, womp rats.
Smarter than the average bear?
It's true, smarter than the average bear.
Yeah.
Not smarter than the smartest bear, though.
Yogi is smarter than the smartest bear! Actually, I think it's just Ranger Rick who is.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, okay. But Isildur's like, wait, these guys are willing to carry us into the mountains and you can talk to them? Yeah, they just call themselves the Blue Desert People and they do this every day and they don't really worry about why.
What?
You see, the Force is within them just like it's within me and you, and so I can kind of reach out via the Force and talk to them, and I can make allies with them because I'm not their enemy.
Yeah,
yeah. So tomorrow morning we're going to ride this guy in. And he's like, but you gave it all our water! Well, yeah, it's going to carry us 80 kilometers for free.
Also... who gives a shit? We'll get more.
This is more.
They're taking us past the desert.
Yeah. This amount of water was useless to us in terms of making an 80K hike, but it's perfectly functional when given to this guy, this lady, so that she'll give us a big ride.
Yeah.
So, indeed, the next morning, they all climb aboard cool blue lizards.
Indeed, they all get... well, I think Isildur gets one, and then Luke takes R2 into a different one.
Yeah, because R2 is going to be pretty tough to balance otherwise.
Yeah.
I'm amazed he doesn't just put R2 into the tiny hands of one of them or something.
Here, you, carry my R2.
Carry this thing for me.
Well, they apparently run by just sort of going flat.
Yeah, they kind of ape run, so they're probably using their hands for a little bit of extra balance.
Yeah.
Anyway, they go charging across the blasted desert, and Isildur's like, damn, this is super precarious, until it starts running, and then he's like, oh.
Oh, it flattens out. Now this is super comfortable.
This is very stable. This is quite easy. I like this. And so they go running across on their lizard mounts, and right as they reach the forest, this is when Isildur really starts to kind of rationalize what's happening, because he's like, I don't feel like walking. Why don't we just make these lizard things carry us the rest of the way?
Oh, yeah, because they get to like a little watering hole, and all of the lizard people stop, because they're like, oh, good. This is what we wanted, water and vegetation.
Yeah, we found where we're supposed to be, so thank you very much, and you guys have a great day. But Isolde's like, but you can command these things, right? Just make them take us farther.
Just tell them to keep going.
Yeah, and Luke's like,
dude, I don't command anything, bro.
No, that's not what I do. I asked them for...
I didn't command you to come with me.
Exactly.
I don't command R2.
Yeah. He's like, I don't issue commands, and I'm not a leader of men. I'm just a guy who's on his way to do a thing.
And Isolde, this is the point where Isolde, like, loses his shit entirely. He's like, wait a minute. You're nice to these lizards.
You're too nice to lizards, he says. That's definitely something we at the in Hapes do not support.
Well, yeah, because he's like, wait a minute. You're giving the exact same amount of, like, respect and autonomy to a lizard and a droid that you give to, like, Ta'achume.
Yeah, let's just say my mom, for example, the queen of all Hapes.
Yeah, and you are just as cordial with them as you are with, like, my mom.
Yeah.
This is weird.
Yeah, you have to show way more fealty to my mom. Do you not know Hape law?
Ah.
Yeah, every episode.
Yeah, and... I'm just like, yeah, okay. I don't know why you're so angry about this, but Luke is just like, yeah, man, I get that your mom would be pissed at me because, you know, despots generally don't like people who are all about equality. So, haha, fuck you.
Yeah, let's keep going. And, you know, Isolde's just kind of gobsmacked again. He's just like, what? This is changing everything. This changes it all.
Oh, my God.
I'm losing my shit. I got to write down equations on the windows.
Yeah, like, this is pretty much how the chapter ends. And the end of the chapter is just a soldier being like, what the fuck?
He literally is like, if this Jedi is right, it changes everything.
Wait a minute. You're saying I can be nice to people?
Yeah, and that's the end of the chapter.
Yeah.
Now, this is sort of cool because this whole chapter has been done from Isolde's point of view. Like John was saying way earlier, Isolde's the one who kind of is describing his powers and trying to guess at Luke's motives and so on. The beginning of chapter 14 is more of the same stuff from Luke's point of view, so we can be reminded once again as readers that Luke is just some dirty farm boy from Idiot Town.
Oh, yeah. Like, all of chapter 13 is just Isolde being like, this is a wise old space hermit. He is a wizard with much wisdom to share with me. And then you get to chapter 14 and Luke's like, wee, I'm a fun dude.
Yeah,
I'm having a good time.
We're being reminded that Luke at this point is about 27.
Yeah, Luke's just like, oh boy, this is great. Ah, this is Soldier Guy. He's neat. I've been looking for someone to train, and this guy's just some chump idiot. I'd totally do it on him.
I love this, that he's like, I love this Isolde dude, because he can't do force shit, so I can train him, and it doesn't matter if I do it wrong or not.
Yeah, like, this guy's not going to turn into Vader if I train him like an idiot. He doesn't have any power. It's great.
He's the training wheels apprentice.
Yeah, he's like, oh, finally, the force has brought me a dude to train that won't fuck everything up.
I can't make him into a Vader. It's so good.
Everything's great.
He could, at worst, he could become a Grievous.
General Solo. Oh, no, it's General Obi-Wan.
Yes.
General Kenobi.
Yes, yeah.
I'm trying to think of what Grievous says to people.
Yeah, he basically says, like, I like killing Jedi and stuff like that.
That's his famous line.
I like killing Jedi, he says.
Hi, I'm General Grievous, and I like killing Jedi.
That's his thing. You don't know this yet, but I've got four arms.
You don't know this, but I've got so many lightsabers.
Hi there, I'm General Grievous, way cooler in the Jendi Tartakovsky micro cartoon. Seriously, if you haven't seen it yet, go check it out. It actually makes you like General Grievous.
Weird.
Right up to the end where Mace Windu crushes his heart, so he becomes all coffee and shitty like he is in the movies.
Yep. Hey, man, why don't you be shitty?
Yeah, I love that. Remember how in the movies he's basically just like an asthmatic old piece of shit? Well, before that happened, he was a badass who killed a bunch of Jedi in a cool cartoon series.
There you go.
So, there you go. All right. Anyway, Luke's just being like, yes, perfect. A Padawan that's pointless. I love this.
Yeah.
Hey, look, a cool wreck. Let's go look at that.
I love everything because, you know, he's jumping around and doing stuff and he's like, yeah, I'm a cool Jedi. I can use Jedi powers. And then he sees a giant wreck like in a tar pit. He's like, fuck yes. I got to go check that shit out. He has the same personality in this as like a little kid that found a cool frog.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is pretty much him.
I guess a personality that we're all familiar with, a little kid who recently found a cool frog.
Yeah. He's just like, oh, dude. Dude, look at this. Look at this cool frog.
I mean, there's a reason he's excited, because the moment he sees the cool spaceship in the tar pit, and let's be clear here, this isn't a small spaceship in a tar pit.
This is gigantic.
This is 4 Star Destroyers long. It's about 2 kilometers.
Yeah.
So it's 4, I think that's Victory Class Star Destroyers long.
Yeah, I think he even says, like, this is about the same size as a Victory Class.
Which is wrong, but sure, why not?
Eh.
Okay, so he sees a giant spaceship in a tar pit, which is amazing to see something that's 2 kilometers long and be like, oh, that's like 30 feet away. This sure is misty. But on one of the tail surfaces, he can read a word, and wouldn't you know it, that word is...
Rosebud.
It's Rosebud. This was the sled of William Randolph Hearst, or whatever the character was named in the movie.
Yeah. Kane?
Yeah, Kane. Yeah.
You know, whatever that citizen's name was.
Some citizen. I don't know. Was that his first name? Or wait, wasn't it just that he
His name was Citizen Kane. Citizen W. Kane.
Citizen, comma, Kane, W. Okay. Anyway, it says Ch'unthor.
Yeah, it's that Ch'unthor. And if you remember, Yoda had some things to say about the Ch'unthor.
Way back when we were still on the planet Tula and hanging around with Whiphids.
Yeah, when we were hanging around that town on the corner.
Yes, let's definitely reference old Counting Crow songs.
Let's do that for the rest of this review.
John, who's Mr. Jones?
Who is Mr. Jones?
Let's pick this apart.
Is he related to Mr. Wendell?
Are Mr. Jones from Mr. Jones and Me and Mr. Wendell from, I believe the song's just called Mr. Wendell, are they just 2 cool homeless dudes?
Are they just 2 dudes who hang out?
Yeah.
And then, like, the guy from Counting Crows shows up and both of them are like, ugh.
This guy.
Fuck. All right. Hold on. I'm going to go show him some Spanish dances real quick. I'll be right back.
Yeah, when he gets back, I'll hit him up for $2, which may not be like a whole lot to him.
But, you know, it means a big deal to me. Mr. Wendell, that is.
What do you think he was doing in particular, the Counting Crows guy, that made him feel so symbolic yesterday?
I don't know.
Fucking song is so bad.
Ugh.
Anyway, I'm sorry. We find the Ch'unthor, which Yoda was saying, we tried to recover the Ch'unthor from Dathomir, but we were repulsed by the Force Witches.
Ah, these Force Witches repulsed us.
That was my best Yoda impression.
Yeah, that's a real good one you got there.
Tried to recover Ch'unthor from Dathomir.
I mean, that's better than when you were just doing it in your voice.
Repulsed by Force Witches we were.
Oh, it was balls. Balls it was.
Eat a pepperoni stick, I will. Get in fight with trash can.
Did Yoda just become a raccoon?
He's pretty much a raccoon in Empire, yeah. Food of yours I want. We'll dig around in your trash can till I find it.
Mm-hmm. Must wash it, I do.
Cotton candy I have found.
Oh no.
You're turning him into Scooby.
Ruh-roh. I washed this cotton candy.
Okay, so we have found the titular Ch'unthor, and it turned out it isn't a person or a place. It's a starship.
It's a thing.
So
in the 20 questions, he didn't ask if it was a thing.
He forgot to ask if it was a thing and if it had a mustache. Okay, so the Ch'unthor is very slowly sinking into this random tar pit. I mean, it's taking forever to do
something. It has been here for a long goddamn time.
Yes, and there's a quick bit of discussion about whether or not they should go bother to take a look at it. But obviously, since Luke wants to, they're gonna.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, Luke is like, dude, I'm going to go over there. Obviously, I need to check this out. And Isolde's like, but,
why?
We're here to go rescue people? What? Why are you going to go look at this? And he's like, because it's cool.
Because it's a cool wreck.
Come on.
Haven't you seen Stand By Me? If you find a cool dead thing, you go and you claim it for your team.
Come on, dude. And Isolde just turns into a petulant little fuck, and he's like, no, I don't want to go.
I don't want to go look at a cool spaceship.
Like, fucking Luke just gets onto a little raft, and he's like, who's coming with me to the wreck? And Isolde goes, no, I'm just going to stay here. And R2 doesn't want to go, but looks at him and is like, you're a bitch, and then gets on the raft.
So
it's the second line that R2 gets at all, and it's just to be like, Isolde, you are a little punk bitch. Good day.
Otherwise, R2's just sitting there being like, boopity beepity? No. Oh, beepity beepity? No. Beepity boopity? Yes. All right, Words with Friends.
Bobby.
That's the thing about Words with Friends, is that it's impossible to do the whole challenge step. You could just sit there trying shit until you spell a word like quidgy bow.
Well, you know, that or you just cheat and you bring up a Scrabble dictionary while you're playing.
there's a internet rearrangement servant that is my personal favorite way to cheat at shit like Words and Friends, which is just a anagram generator.
Yeah, you just go to an anagram generator, plug what you have in.
Turn it into candidate ward list and you're off to the races.
Yeah, or if you really want to get into it, you find a program that is an actual Scrabble board. You put the words that are in there and your letters, and it tells you what the optimal play is.
Ugh, man, I can't.
You're just like, hey, let a computer play for me.
The Words with Friends is fun.
How fun? It's Words with Friends, and by that I mean these two computers that we are using are friends.
Will they find love?
No.
Make us kiss. Make us spell the word kiss.
I have spelled now kiss.
That's two words. Challenge. Our love is dead.
You have challenged my love, and it is found wanting.
Okay. So the Unthor turns out to have crashed somewhere here or on Dathomir, almost completely intact. And not even really crashed so much as just landed and is stuck now.
Yeah, because when Luke gets there, he's like, all right, this is a rotted out hull, like... The metal is all fucked up. The plasteel has been eroded.
I mean, to be fair, no one's managed to get into the ship yet. Like, when you look through the windows, because I guess the thing's covered in transparent domes that are, like, where people sit down.
The plasteel.
Yeah, they're huge. It's like, there's a food court one.
Oh, yeah. So there's an entire gym in there.
Yeah.
It's basically like they found that ship from WALL-E got crashed on Dathomir.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. It's so a lot of really nice spots to hang around and look at space pass by, these huge plasteel bubbles.
Yeah.
And he looks in and he can even see like uneaten meals still sitting there moldering away on tables and stuff. So,
which is weird because if it's been so long that the actual metal of this ship has begun to rot away, you'd think the food would be long done.
Well, notably, no one's managed to get in yet, because that's the next thing he establishes. He goes to, like, where the doors are, and he sees huge club marks and scrapes and stuff, as if someone's been trying to beat their way into the ship, and there's even, like, painted arrows indicating weak seams and so on, but no one's managed to get in here yet.
Well, it's all been basically welded shut.
Yes.
So when this crashed, they apparently just welded everything shut and were like, fuck it.
Yeah, they either welded everyone out or welded everyone in.
Because he looks and there are doors inside there where he's like, all right, here's a big, like, gym and there's a door at the end of it and that door is welded shut. It's not just you can't get into the ship. It's you can't get into, like, past the beginning of the ship either.
Yeah, it's very complex. Whatever happened here, he also doesn't detect any life signs. So there aren't people just living in the ship still and hiding in there.
Well, I mean, unless everyone is a Jedi and they're all currently doing that I'm dead trick.
That's true. They could all be doing the I'm dead trick where they immediately lower their body temperature to fool people into thinking that the Jedi died and froze immediately.
Oh, that Jedi just immediately turned cold. That's weird.
That's real weird. I guess he knows way more about Jedi powers than he does about how bodies decompose. All right, so or I guess about heat retention.
Yeah.
So, okay, he can tell that some sort of huge monster has been trying to beat its way into the ship and at the direction of smarter people, but it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
Eventually, though, he realizes he himself is going to have a really hard time getting in there, too. So he pulls his lightsaber to try and cut his way into the ship.
But the big surprise here is when he looks in the ship and sees one of the rooms has a bunch of stuff to make lightsabers?
Mm-hmm.
Why, the Unthor wasn't just a random ship. It was for Jedis.
It's a bunch of stuff to make lightsabers. So, let's see. Based on what we know personally about lightsaber making, based on Shadows of the Empire, that means there's rocks and an easy bake oven in one of the rooms.
Oh, yeah. In one of the rooms, it's just a line of easy bake ovens.
Mm-hmm. Some of them still turned on.
Some of them still on fire to this day.
Yeah. So, he's trying to cut his way into the ship because he goes, oh, my God. The Unthor was the Jedi Academy I've spent my life looking for.
No wonder I couldn't find it on some planet. It was in space.
That's where we kept it all this time.
The one place that was safe from capitalism.
This is
space.
It's also the point where he thinks to himself, I know full well that Ta'a Chume was lying to me, and there's no Jedi Academy anywhere in fucking Hapes.
That jerk Ta'a Chume.
No one likes Ta'a Chume. She's the worst. Sexy, though.
Oh, yeah. Total MILF, but yeah. Still the worst.
So, okay. At this point, right as he pulls his lightsaber to try and cut his way into the ship, he is attacked.
Oh, no!
By a sexy lady.
And a club swings out of nowhere.
It just bonks him real good. He gets some Jedi sense it's about to happen. His Spidey sense was tingling.
Yep.
But even as he raises his lightsaber to block, a club smacks him in the robo hand and busts his robo hand up real good.
Yep. But his lightsaber goes flying, but of course he is a Jedi, so he just like whoop, he just gets
pulls
it back.
Pulls it into his other hand. And at this point, the person who was attacking him backs off a little because she's amazed by what she just saw.
She's like, the shit did you just do?
So
you're a dude and you've got magic?
So who's attacking him is a short-haired woman with gray and orange eyes who couldn't be more than 18 and is probably less than 18. If you
18
get
to 20.
She's somewhere in the 18 to 20 range.
Yeah, she is definitely of legal age.
Thank goodness. at least there's that.
Oh, yeah, the book is definitely like, oh, man, why, she's barely 18. Definitely not more than 20, but totally legal. She is barely legal, one might say.
She's attacked by a barely legal lady. And then she says, oops, my boobs. And then she
oops.
She just goes, girl's gone wild all
and
over
she
him.
Just runs away. And in the distance, you can hear her call, spring break.
So she comes swinging at him until he develops some Jedi powers. Oh, and she's wearing, like, you know, a reptile skin loincloth tunic that's revealing very much and leaving little to the imagination. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But when she sees him use power, she backs off and she's like, wait, a man? A lowly man can command the magic?
A man!
And then her giant lips go flying towards him. I mean, almost.
Almost.
That almost happens.
Damn.
So he's like, yeah, I am friends with the Force and the Force is my ally. I can control it.
Yeah.
And she's like, I have heard tell of your kind. The men sorcerers from beyond the stars are known as the Jai.
The Jai? We took the D out.
Mm-hmm. We just left
J. Yeah, we don't want the D anymore. Just Jai.
Just Jai. No D, thank you.
Yeah. We on Dathomir, no D.
That's why we call it Athomir. All right, so she's like, are you a Jai? And he's like, I don't know, maybe. I mean, I'm certainly a sorcerer. Well, they say that since the Jai battles death, the Jai cannot know death, and they live forever and are invulnerable.
They battle for life, and so life is their ally.
Is that you? And he's like, I don't think so.
He's like, no? I don't know, maybe. He's basically the same thing to, hey, man, can you travel through hyperspace using the Force? I don't know, probably.
Sure.
I mean, it sounds like something I could do.
What do you think, R2? Beep, boop.
Beep.
Looks back down again.
Yeah, and the same thing's like, oh, are you this Jai? And he's like, I don't know, maybe.
And then, this is the part that grosses me out, because she starts chanting. She's saying, like, Wetha, Ara, Quetha, Way, over and over again.
Yeah.
And he's like, what are you doing? And then he looks at her, and he's like, I have never seen such a look of unbridled lust in someone's eyes.
Yeah, he goes and does the same thing that he basically did to Isolde, where he's like, all right, I'm going to root around in your brain and see what's going on up in there.
Mm-hmm.
And all he gets is, oh, she wants to, like, go into one of the tents where a dude is and get down.
So here's the thing. It takes him about this long to realize that they've basically just walked into a village. Because there's like a whole bunch, there's like huts and shit, or that, or he's seeing
no,
that in her
vision.
Memory. Okay, yeah. So there's like kids playing and stuff, and he sees a vision of a hut in her mind, and then he's like, wait, she just wants to fuck me in a hut.
Hold on.
She wants to fuck me real bad. I'm like, the thing is, she's not lustful for him. She doesn't find him especially attractive.
No, she's not like, ooh, that man's what I want. She's like, I need a dude.
I need a dude, and specifically one who is invincible and I can have his seed and grow super babies. So she's not lustful, she's just ultra pragmatic.
Yeah.
And but in his eyes, he's like, I see the fury of unbridled lust burning in her eyes.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Great. Yeah.
Lust. Lust for crumpets.
Yes, but also lust for adventure. And so she starts flinging force shit at him. It's and she is quite good at this.
Oh, yeah. Her little chant thing basically lets her throw a fucking avalanche at him. Like, mm-hmm. Just shit tons of rocks and debris and logs and shit just go flying at him.
And he dodges it for a while, but eventually he can't.
Well,
and
yeah,
plus,
because,
she's part of it.
Because he went into her mind, he's all discombobulated because mm-hmm. He's like, oh, she wants to bone down and now I'm all distracted by that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to dodge these rocks, but also like not show that I have a boner.
This is the little part where his weird sex problems comes, the author's weird sex views comes to light, where he's like, well, I can't focus now because this 18-year-old's like down to get around.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we just spent the entire last chapter and most of this chapter talking about how I'm a super awesome fucking Jedi that can do anything. But the second any lady's like, hey, sex, he's like, my powers!
What is he, a Tex Avery creation? What is this?
Oh, yeah. He just loses all ability to do anything. He's like, oh, I managed to cut a couple rocks in half, but then I got smacked by a fucking log.
Well, yeah, and then she runs up and bonks him with a club and grabs him by the hair and drags him to a cave.
Yeah.
Almost exactly.
Straight up straddles him and is like, you are my slave now.
Yeah, and she also gives us her name. She is Tenennial Dio, the daughter of Alia.
I am Dio, and I rock.
I am Tenennial Dio, and I will throw a steamroller at you.
I am Tenennial Dio, and you are JoJo, and now we fight.
That was the same joke, but I love it.
Yeah.
So he is claimed.
Click, 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 click.
He is claimed as a slave by Tenennial Dio, daughter of Alia.
Daughter of Alia?
Yeah, daughter of all y'all.
All you nuts? Daughter of Ligma.
What's a daughter?
Ligma balls.
All right, so that's the end of chapter 13, which is a problem because we're really going long today because there's a lot of chapter 14 to talk about.
Well, no, that part was all in 14.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah. So the wreck is the first
right.
part of
Thank
14.
Thank you, yeah. So 14 ends with a whole section from Han's point of view, and you know what? It's not that bad because when you take all of Han's power away in this book, he's just some dummy who's getting forced into doing shit by women on Rancors.
Yeah, like the entire thing is... Rancor women eventually get Han and Leia and Chewie into the village.
Wild avocado Rancor women of the moon.
And they take Leia off and they're like, we're going to go talk. Chewbacca is injured,
he's
so they
quite
take
injured.
Him somewhere.
Yeah.
They're like, we'll take care of him.
Yeah, he's either injured or he's faking it because he's really having a hard time winning against R2.
Oh, yeah, he's just sitting there like, oh, it's so much pain. I couldn't possibly walk. If you could just carry me and there we go. Okay.
I don't think I can come in today.
real bad.
It's gut stuff. You don't want to ask any questions.
Oh, I've been pooping weird colors, I'll tell you that much. So, yep, can't come in.
Hey, where can I plug this in?
You guys got a charger in there?
Lightning cable?
Anyone? Anyone?
So Han is instead escorted along by a couple of people who clearly don't speak any basic, and 3PO gets to go with him. Han is, and it's a fun, actually, this is a really great spot to talk about the description of where they go. They go to a village that's populated by a bunch of badass warrior women, and also some dudes, but the dudes are all like,
well, yeah,
the slaves.
Because the dudes are all just, from the perspective of Han, they're all just sitting around looking at puddles.
So, but the rest of the city sounds awesome. It's like a cool fortress with a bunch of terraces and Rancor guards everywhere. And the whole thing has clearly been pretty beat up. Like, laser burns are everywhere, too.
Oh, yeah.
So
they've got their own, like, blaster cannons that they've clearly scavenged from shit.
Yeah, so they're at war. And everyone's very tense and watching the skies and so on. But weirdly, no one's being especially mean to him yet. They're just kind of making him go into an area.
He's just walking along and they're like, ugh, move.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And there's farms and there's interesting orchards and all. It's a really cool description of a primitive city.
Yeah. They're up in the cool mountains.
Yes. The singing mountains. And he gets shoved towards a bunch of dudes who are, as John mentioned, all sitting cross-legged on the ground looking at puddles. And then this is when the Wuffa part starts.
Oh, yeah. The lady on the back of the Rancor just like shoves him and is like, Wuffa.
Wuffa. Hey. Hey.
Hey. You. Wuffa.
Wuffa. And he's like, you want me to...
What the fuck is a Wuffa?
You want me to stare at
Wuffa
that?
Wuffa balls.
Wuff my balls.
Hey. Hey. Sugma.
What's a Wuffa? So Han gets the idea that... He asks 3PO first, like, what the hell are they saying? And 3PO's like, I don't speak this language. It sounds like they're speaking ancient Piacean, but a lot of it's different, so I have no idea what a Wuffa is.
Yeah, I speak so much goddamn language, and no, I have no idea.
And Han's like, oh, the Piaceans. Well, they went out of fashion like 3,000 years ago.
Oh, yeah, they went out of fashion.
Uh-huh. No one's caught dead wearing Piacean anymore. But he gets the impression that this lady wants Han to go look at some other old dude's Wuffa puddle.
Yeah, they're just like, all right, I guess you want me to stare into a puddle. Sure. He walks over to where the guys are, and some dude is like, yo, Wuffa.
Hey, Wuffa. Wuffa,
hey,
stupid.
Wuffa.
Wuffa,
you dumb motherfuck. And hands him a little trowel and a bucket full of liquor. And is like, Wuffa, you dumb asshole.
Wuffa. And Han eventually manages to figure out that they want him to dig a little hole and fill it with this liquor and look at it.
Yeah, he's like, you know what? Fine, fuck it. You want me to go on like a weird vision quest into staring into a puddle? Fuck it. Great. I'm into it.
Yeah, until I can kidnap one of you and force you to marry me, I'll go along with your dumb plan.
Yeah.
Remember, I'm an asshole. Don't forget that.
Do not forget this.
Yeah. So he digs a little trench, he pours a little puddle, and he wuffas, which is to look in this puddle for a while. And then, wouldn't you know it, it works, because a worm shows up.
Yeah, Han is the only one who gets a good wuffa puddle going.
Which is good, because it takes a village to wuffa properly, apparently.
And this worm starts, like, a little hole opens up and starts drinking the liquor, mm-hmm. and it moves out a little bit, and he's like, oh, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm supposed to get this worm.
And then they feed it an apple and a lemon cookie.
Yeah, where's my lemon cookie? But he's like, all right, I'm gonna chill for a bit. I'm gonna let this worm come out a little more. And it, like, goes over to his bucket and starts drinking from the bucket. And then he's like, yeah, I got you, motherfucker.
He grabs
it. I got
it.
You now.
And then it goes, no, they's taken my bucket.
And it turns out that the Wuffa is a worm, the Wuffa worm, and it is gigantic.
It is 250 meters long.
So Han spends basically the entire day just slowly pulling the rest of this worm out of the ground.
Yes, and eventually he looks behind him and realizes that the entire village is now part of it.
Yeah, like all of the dudes that were here and looking at puddles,
plus a bunch of kids and ladies,
are just grabbing part of this fucking worm because it is ridiculously huge.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually he's like, all right. And the whole reason he's doing this is like, okay, if they kill weird visitors, foreigners on this planet, but I caught a Wuffa worm, maybe they'll spare me.
Maybe I'll become Han Solo, Wuffa catcher.
I'll be some great high exalted dude, and then they'll give me some ladies to kidnap.
Oh, you know how much I love kidnapping ladies, because in this book, I'm Han Solo, registered asshole. Hey, kid, your dad around? I gotta tell him I'm an asshole. I'm new in the neighborhood.
So eventually they pull the entire worm up, and they have to go take the worm somewhere.
They take it to an orchard.
And he sees what they do with them, which is just sort of drying them out for the leather. And then he looks over and he sees the saddles, and they're like lined with Wuffa worm leather. And he's like, oh, good. I caught a 250-meter rope.
Yeah,
good
he's
for
like,
me.
I caught a rope. I'm Han Solo, rope catcher. Great. Well, I'm part of the team now, I guess.
Well, I guess I'm on Team Wuffa.
Yeah. So he caught a Wuffa, and it's been hours at this point, is the thing we really need to press here. It's been like 7 hours since he caught this Wuffa.
Yeah. I mean, this is like when you go fishing like out in like the ocean and you're trying to catch a marlin, you're like, oh, this is going to take you hours.
Yes.
This will be exhausting.
So he spent all day catching a Wuffa, and at a certain point, he's like, hey, wait a minute. Whatever happened to Leia and Chewie?
And Chewie, we don't know.
No.
Chewie's
no.
just somewhere.
He's in the break room.
Chewie's fucked off. He's in the green room
Chewie
right now.
Chewie isn't even wearing the Chewie mask anymore. It's just Jonas Suotomu.
Just or sitting Peter Mayhew. Down in the green room.
Yeah.
Like, eh.
Little kid sees him with a mask off, screams.
Oh, he's like, eh, get over it.
Yeah, whatever. I'm smoking.
Union break.
So, but Leia, as it turns out, has been negotiating with these people the whole time. And so a woman on a Rancor is sent to retrieve Han.
He's like, hey,
come with me.
Your fucking lady managed to save your dumbass life.
I love this part because the lady shows up on a Rancor and basically pokes him with a pike and is like, follow me. And he's like, where are we going? And she's, instead of saying, shut up, slave, or anything, she goes, oh, the woman you brought with you is negotiating for your life and has won your freedom, but now we're going to determine what your future is going to be. So come with me and we're going to negotiate about that because we're actually pretty cool people.
Yeah, it's we're not huge assholes.
It's not just shut up, you. Which I was completely ready for.
Oh, 100%. I thought Han was going to get himself fucked up again because they'd be like, follow me. Why?
I prefer to follow you because I hate to see you go, but I love to watch you leave.
And then they just fucking shoot him in the face.
Yeah.
Like, all right, I get it. You're the worst. Okay.
Okay, all right. Yeah, yeah. We're going to kill you and then go let the lady that we brought with us know that you're dead and she's safe.
Yeah, we're going to go let her know that it's okay. You can't hurt her anymore.
Yeah. So she explains what's going on to Han and leads him towards their kind of temple space. And while he's walking there, he sees what must be a woman from the community. Some old lady comes out on a high terrace and does some basic chanting and stuff, and then summons from the ground a crystal ball. And we're talking by from the ground, I mean like 200 feet into the air.
Yeah, so up to this cliff is a crystal ball, but wait a minute. That's no crystal ball. It's water.
And he's like, well, that can't be a natural feature because water doesn't usually float up without falling apart first.
Also, I've never seen any Jedi tricks. It's me, Han Solo, the guy who doesn't know a Jedi.
That's I'm not famously aware of a Jedi.
That's me.
So he still, he never quite puts this together. I'm willing to bet that he sees it happen and he's like, huh, that looks like Jedi sorcery, but it's a dame. Broads can't do Jedi trickery.
They got regular sex trickery.
I'm going to have to kidnap her and figure this out.
So while he is going up to this temple where Leia has been arguing for their freedom, he sees a delegation show up, and they're dressed not like these people. They're in like dark robes and they have like purple skin. And
no, but the people that we've been seeing the whole time instead are dressed in cool lizard hide tunics with really elaborate antler masks.
Oh, yeah. I mean, these are definitely your, we found like some Beastmaster lady tribes, whereas, I mean, what we see the delegation from is obviously the Night Witches.
Yeah, they're all dressed and look like emperors. It's a whole bunch of emperor groupies.
And the lead one has a broken spear, so he's like, oh, I guess that means they come in peace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, sure, that all tracks to me. I'm a big dumb idiot, but I'm smart in that one regard.
The lead one's just like, hey, idiot, where's your ship?
Oh, it's right over there.
I love that.
This is so straightforward.
Oh, hey, yeah, it's right over. And then the person who was leading him on the Rancor just like jumps down and is like, will you shut the fuck up? You quit Jedi mind tricking this asshole. That's literally so dumb.
Yeah. So this lady is, the bad guy here is Baritha. So Baritha is like, hey, tell me where your ship is. And he's like, okay. And then Demaya, who's the guard who's escorting him, is like, no, don't. You're being mind tricked right now. Dumb fuck. And he's like, I couldn't be getting mind tricked by no chickadee.
Oh, in his mind, he's like, oh, yeah, that's that thing that Luke used to get weak-minded people to do his bidding. Wait a minute.
Ain't no broad can do that to me. I'm Han Solo.
I ain't weak-minded. I'm strongs-minded.
I'm a kidnap you good.
And Baritha's just amused. Is like, whatever.
Stupid shit.
You dumb fuck. Get out of here. And like slaps him on the ass with the force.
Well, she does. She uses the force to feel him up.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, I haven't encountered a dick in a while. Might as well get a grab in there.
Like, taps his junk with the end of a spear and is like, hey, what's going on down there? He's like, whoa, what the fuck?
What is this now?
I love what happens with him in this chapter.
Yeah.
It's like, what do? You catch a worm and then ladies fuck with you for the rest of the chapter.
Like, I'm not going to say that this makes up for his dumb actions in the first two chapters because that's kind of a betrayal of Han Solo as a character.
Yes.
But it is cathartic to watch him just get towed around as a slave by all these women right away.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Because, like, immediately, they're just like, hey, dumb shit. You're basically a dog to us.
You, sit there. Look at the puddle until you get a worm.
So.
Here, I got to feel up your haunches.
Let me check you for dew claws.
So, yeah. And, you know, Han Solo eventually gets taken away, and Baritha's just like, hey, you can't blame me for trying. Look at that piece of ass. I'm like, this is great. Thank you.
And Demaya even threatens to shoot her.
Oh, yeah. Demaya's like, do not make me fucking shoot you. Jesus Christ, leave this guy alone.
Go ahead and shoot me. I don't care. Which is great because, like I was saying, these are basically emperor groupies. And so they're like, yes, shoot me. Unleash your hate.
Ugh, God, you're the worst. Hey, invite Han Solo back to our hot tub later. It's all a bunch of party emperors.
A bunch of old lady emperors. This is the best.
Yeah. These are the old ladies that go to the strip club and just scream and molest the dancers.
Hey, we're going to talk about the divine secrets of the Emperor's Sisterhood.
Then we're going to go see Thunder from Down Under and I'm going to grab the dude's dick. I have no shame. I'm so old, I don't care anymore.
When they complain, I'm just going to tell them it's my birthday.
Here's $5. Now let me feel the goods.
Oh, so many lady emperors. This is the happiest day of my life.
Entire group of lady emperors.
Uh-huh. So eventually the stalemate of this lady just wanting to take Han right now is over and everyone is trooped into the big building.
Yeah.
Where a new woman named Ogwin comes out, and Ogwin is the leader of the Singing Mountain Clan, which is all these waffle-oven ladies that we've
waffle-up-a-dub-dubs.
Yeah, that we've learned to love. And she's like, "Hey, so we're set this guy free," and Baretha, the bad emperor groupie, is like, no, we claim him.
No, he's mine. Dibs. I called dibs.
We caught him. And Ogwin's like, no, you didn't. He was captured by Imperial soldiers, and we took him from them. And Baretha says, well,
there are soldiers, you idiot.
There are dumb slaves. We catch any Imperials and mind control them when they get to the planet. So it's like you took him away from our pets.
Well, it doesn't count. You didn't have him. Someone else did. Fuck you.
That's against the rules. Rules that you don't respect anyway. And it goes on like that for a while.
Well, yeah. And he's like, before that saved the life of one of our sisters. And so he belongs to our clan.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really? And who the fuck was that?
Well, obviously it's Leia in a great, great new tribal outfit. So,
oh yeah. It's Leia in her like
lizard
leather
tunic.
Bikini. Yeah.
So she gets troped out there in a leather bathing suit made of reptile hide with a nice veil on, and she's introduced as, what, Tandor or something like that?
Yeah, Tandori.
Tandori. She's introduced as Tandori Chicken.
Uh-huh. This is our Tandori Chicken.
Uh-huh.
And Han saved it.
She's from the Northern Tribe, and you can use the spell of determining the truth if you want.
Oh, yeah. She's from that Lake Tribe.
Mm-hmm.
You know that it's true.
She's an adopted sister. And Baretha's like, fuck this anyway.
All right, fuck you. I'm just taking him.
So she reaches out to just get him. I'm fucking sick of this. I'm just taking him.
Ah, fuck you. You, come with me.
Everyone threatens to stop her.
Like, everyone pulls guns.
They shoot at her, but she just deflects it into the ceiling. And then she just uses the local equivalent of a cell phone, which is yelling really loud.
She's like, hey!
Geth Zirion, she
must
yells.
Must be the money!
She yells to the leader of these Night Sister people, Geth Zirion.
Yo, Geth Zirion, these bitches is fucking our shit up. What do you want us to do?
They have dudes in a starship, but they won't let us have them. My favorite part is when he's like, we didn't talk about this real briefly here, but when they're like, what are you even doing on this planet? And Han's response is the dumbest shit thing in the world.
He just goes, I own this planet.
Well, I owns this planet, and I want you skinny dames off it.
You are trespassing on my planet, you see?
This ain't no place for oldie olds.
I want only sexy young chicks in leather bikinis like these broads.
And they're like, you dumb shit, you can't own the planet. Men can't own things.
And then he shows the deed, and they just like
slap
it out of his hand. They're like, fuck you.
Fuck you, stupid. And he's like, well, I want you off my planet. Fine, give us a ship and we'll go. Have you not figured out yet that the only thing we want is your starship?
Come on, you dumb fuck.
I wish that at this point the bad guy and the good guy could have had just a friendliest, politest side conversation about how dumb he is. That would have been great.
Just like Ogwin and Baretha are like, can you believe this motherfucker?
Let's just shut him up for the whole thing. And you and I can have the argument because we're keeping him. Oh, no, we're going to take him. And he's over there like, you skinny dames ain't know nothing from nothing. Yeah, no, okay.
Okay, that guy.
God, just put a cheeseburger in front of him. I guarantee it'll work.
Ooh, cheeseburger.
He hasn't figured out yet that they're made of Wuffa.
Man, this cheeseburger is 25 meters long.
It's a 250-meter cheeseburger. Only at Burger King.
I got a segment of Wuffa.
Some made of worm.
Some worm included.
Join the Burger King Kids Club. You can get a free worm on your birthday. Okay.
Can I get that big Wuffa meal?
So Geth Zirion basically mentally communicates to Baretha what she should do.
Yeah.
Which I guess is jump out the window.
Is fuck off, and then they'll get them later.
Yeah, exactly. So all the Night Sisters are like, yeah, we're leaving. Yeah.
We're going to jump out the window.
Hang out later. Come out later if you want to hang out and play some DDR.
Come on. We've got a cool jacuzzi if you want to come by. No need for trunks, eh?
We just like to let them all float loose.
Yeah, come on, Han. Come on into the pool. The water's warm.
I may have passed my time, but I'm still fired up.
We've got bottles of white Zin and we're ready to go.
We have that fancy apricot liqueur and shit like that only old ladies drink.
We've got some Moscato.
Perfect. And so they jump out the window, but as they're jumping, Baretha stops and floats in the air for a second, and she's like, we will have blood. And then they just land on the ground 200 yards away, down.
And skitter off.
Skitter off like insects.
Good.
And we get to see that Leia is now Princess Tandori Chicken, the person who's managed to keep Han alive, and that's the end of that.
Yep.
And that's the chapters. That these are really fun chapters because Han is no longer being allowed the autonomy to do horrible, dumb shit, and Leia isn't being given any lines.
Well, it really is the best bits of this book are the bits that aren't about the courtship of Princess Leia.
That's very true.
The shit that's about Luke and Dathomir and the cool shit that's going on this planet.
And the fact that we've got a whole bunch of lady emperors.
Yeah, that's great.
That is the best.
I mean, we're halfway through this book, and it just feels like the author is finally gotten to the part that he wanted to write anyway.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh yeah, Dathomir was what I wanted to do. The rest of this book is just because they told me I had to.
Yeah, so there you go. That's the chapters. What do you think is going to happen next, John?
Well, obviously there will be blood.
There will definitely be some blood. Perhaps
I think they're going to drink his milkshake.
I drank your waffle liquor. I drank it up.
Oh, you shouldn't do that. You're going to go blind if you drink the waffle liquor.
Yeah,
that shit is like 180 proof.
That is not for human consumption.
That is bad. That's like rubbing alcohol. Jesus.
We use it to make the waffle stupid so we can catch them, and they're 250 meters long. So anyway, that's chapters 13 and 14 of The Courtship of Princess Leia. Could this book pull itself out of the power dive that the first 13 or 12 chapters were?
I don't know, man.
Probably not.
I mean, it looks like the book is dead, but maybe it's not.
I don't think anything can forgive Han for those first couple of chapters.
Oh, no. I mean, it really is just whatever happens in this book, you still get to look back at the first chapters and go, oh, yeah, that's right. They completely assassinated everyone's character.
Right.
Like, Luke is the only one who's getting out of this alive.
Yeah, and Chewbacca, because he wisely dialed out early.
Oh, yeah, Chewbacca and R2 are like, nope, not having it. You're contractually obligated to be here. All right, I'll stand on set, but I'm not doing anything.
Yeah, they're basically going to pen a strongly worded letter. They're basically the Dave Bautista of this book. No, pass. You fired James Gunn. I want no part of this.
I'm good. Bye.
Maybe they shouldn't put Drax in Guardians of the Galaxy 3 and just say he was standing very still.
Just the very end, they're like, what happened to Drax? Oh, he's been standing real still.
It is as though I was invisible. Anyway, I quit.
Anyway, I'm not going to be here because, you know, this is bullshit.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, that's the chapter. Thank you so much for listening. As always, we will be making some bonus content immediately after this. We are going to be describing things from Wikipedia that are of interest to us. Blah.
Yeah, we're going to go deep diving into that Wikipedia. We've got stories for each other.
We do. We have things to tell.
We're faithful and friendly with stories to share.
And our songs fill the air. I forget the other line. Laughing and caring, their songs fill the air, something like that.
All through the forest, they sing out in chorus.
Ah, laughing along as their song fills the air.
Gummy bears.
Bouncing here and there and everywhere. It's going to be the whole song now, John.
Yeah, we're doing the whole thing now.
It's the whole song.
Fuck you. There's three fucking verses, and we're going to do all of them.
We're going to do even the ones that weren't in the show.
Yeah, just like the third verse that wasn't part of the show.
Yeah, just like how DuckTales has a whole second verse that wasn't in the show.
Oh, yeah. Just like there's actually like four verses to It's a Small World.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Man, remember that extra verse of DuckTales? It's like, gold deduction never fails, that's for certain. The worst of messes become successes. I'm in my head now.
DuckTales, ooh-woo.
Ooh-woo. All right. If you want to find that bonus content and more stupid shit like us for trying to remember the second verse of the DuckTales song, all you have to do is go to patreon.com/systemmastery. The $2 level is what you're looking for. Usually about $4 a month is the total. You're going to get charged for doing that. In exchange, you will get 4 episodes of Expounded Universe on average per month bonus content.
You get weekly fucking content.
So much extra shit for about $4 a month. It is a really good deal. Of course, we do strongly encourage you to do the new $5 level to get that afterthought.
Ooh, yeah, that monthly sweet hot afterthought returning.
It is coming back, and it's going to be back in September, which means this is our last warning that if you sign up pretty much the day you hear this, you might get the September content because of the weird way that Afterthought or that Patreon's pledges work.
Yeah, Patreon does a weird thing where if you sign up after something has gone up, then you might not get access to it until the next
pay
rotation.
Site, just to make, well, it makes sense for people who do like art and so on.
Yeah.
So you can't just be like, I'll pledge $5.
See your art, download it, and then stop pledging before I have to pay for it.
Yeah, so there's a lot of people trying to scam Patreon all the time, so it makes sense, but we are warning you in advance that if you want a September
you don't
want
to have to like wait a month to listen to it. Then
exactly.
Get in now.
Yeah. So there you go. So there's $1, $2, and $5 levels that each unlock varying amounts of bonus content there on the Patreon. Feel free to stop by and support us. Patreon.com/systemmastery. Otherwise, you can find us at systemmasterypodcast.com or System Mastery on Facebook, Gmail, Twitter, or Reddit.
Yeah. Join our Discord. Mm-hmm. If you are a $5 member, we've got an entire afterthought locked for $5 patrons. And that's where you can ask questions and really, anything you want to do in there.
And really lord it over the plebs because it's the $5 channel.
Oh, yeah. They can't get in there. It's the exclusive $5 channel.
Mm-hmm. And we promise we both read it. We may not say anything, but I promise that our eyes will see your content.
Oh, yeah. You're going to have our eyes all over it.
Don't post your dick, though.
Unless you want our eyes all over it.
That's correct. All right. Well, anyway, thank you so much for listening. We'll see you in a week with more content. And until that time, I've been Ilan Slizbaganiano.
Slizbaganiano. It's-a me.
I'm adding syllables to my name.
It's-a me, Ilan Slizbaganiano, and I love death sticks.
From the old country.
Oh, these death sticks from the old country. Mwah, mama.